This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you again on another Saturday afternoon to our radio program that we've called for 20 plus years, Raising the Standard. Right, Pastor Donna? And so we're honored to be here with you on another Saturday. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. I hope you can stay tuned in. And we co-pastor a church here in Stuart that we have for, hard to believe here, 25 years is coming up already. It's hard to believe how long we've had this church going. So we praise God for that, the work that He's had us to do, and with the Jewish roots and all that. And so we're honored to be here with you again on another Saturday afternoon. So we're going to share some things with you. We know we just went through Rosh Hashanah now, and we didn't finish what we were going to talk about last week. Went down a bunny trail, but that's all right. Those are important too. And so maybe we'll fill in some blanks that we didn't have last week to show you the purpose of all those seasons that God has to teach us about Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. That's what it's all about. So we're honored to be here with you again on this day. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So
Amen.
Stay tuned in for the whole hour if you can. If you can't, we do offer CDs. All we ask for would be a love offering, whatever the Lord would show you. Make out a check to Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and you'd mail it to Post Office Box 413. That's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip there is 34995, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. Amen.
Amen.
And if you want our book we talked about last week about God's prophetic calendar, pictures of the Messiah as revealed in God's appointed times, that's for $25 and maybe $4 or $5 for shipping and handling. And we can get that out to you as well. Amen.
Amen.
So be blessed with what you hear today, not because it's Don and I, but because it's things that God wants you to know at this season. You know, God has seasons all the time, doesn't He? Every year. He's a cyclic God. They go around 12 months every year. And He wants us to honor those, and also we can learn something every single year from those appointed times for our lives as well. Even though we're not Jewish, but we are Jewish because we're grafted in, aren't we?
We are.
We're
we
part
are grafted in, so we are Jewish.
That's
and
right.
We have the blood of the Messiah, don't we?
We sure do.
And we're covered in His blood, and we just thank the Lord. And His blood, I believe, you know, spiritually runs through our veins because
right.
we are a new creature, so, actually, in Christ
right.
Jesus.
So we're honored to be with you here.
He's the first fruits, and we are born again. I just want to thank the Lord for everything He's done for us in the past and the things He's brought us through, even though sometimes we've come through troubled waters.
Yeah.
But, you know, He says He'll bring us through. Well, you know, He brought all the children of Israel through.
Sure
it looked
did.
Like troubled waters, yeah. You know, but they walked through that Red Sea and they got to the other side. And you know, He's maintained them all through all of these years, these generations. And He promises that He will.
That's
he
right.
will remember them. And that's even in part of our Torah reading for this week. You know, He remembers the past, the present, and the future. He sees the seed that's going to come from their loins. And also He sees us. He knows everyone who's going to come to the Lord, who's going to receive Yeshua, who's going to be born again. And it's just really exciting what God is doing. So we want to thank the Lord that He's brought us through. You know, we need to think about these things. And during Rosh Hashanah, it says we need to think, and we want to
rejoice in those
things. And we want to get better and better and better. You know, we want to improve. He's called us to be perfect. So we want to change, and that change is to go to the good, not to the bad and the ugly. But
he'll never leave us or forsake us, no matter what we're going through.
He's joined us. We're yoked fellows
with him.
We're yoked with him. I want to mention that we have services or meetings here in Stuart, Florida, mm-hmm. and every Friday night at 7 p.m. we have our Shabbat service. What do we do there? We spend time in reading the Word of God and studying the Torah, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, or the covenant that Moses wrote down on Mount Sinai. You got the words from the Lord, all of that. And we're almost finished with the book of Deuteronomy, and then we'll start all over again.
All over again, right.
But we don't just stay in the first covenant. We go into the new covenant, or the renewed covenant, and we see where many words, many statements are reiterated or repeated.
That's right.
By Yeshua, and by also the disciples, and by Paul. That people don't realize that are also in the first covenant.
We need to be reminded all the time too, don't we?
So if we don't know what's in we don't know the promises and the first covenant. You know, we really don't understand the fullness of the whole Bible. So we need to read our Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis all the way through the entire Bible, because it all works together. You know, they're yoked together. They're worked together. And that's what we're supposed to do, is work together with the Lord.
Amen.
And so, and then on Sunday, the first day of the week, which is the eighth day,
right.
which is the day Jesus rose from the grave,
mm-hmm.
is the eighth day. And that day, we come together and we celebrate, we worship God. And this is what we have on our podium. Worship God, for the testimony or the witness of Yeshua or Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Right.
And of course, you all know that the name of the ministry is called Spirit of Prophecy. And the name of this radio broadcast is called Raising the Standard, which is what we all need to do. Pastor Gene and myself and our church and all believers need to raise the standard. Also, you can listen to us on this on the internet, WCNO. Around the world. So you can tell your friends and family that anywhere they may live in the world, that they can go to WCNO, download the app, or just go and listen to this radio broadcast. It's 24/7. Pray for them, you know, because for WCNO, and pray for those who work there. Because it's a labor of love, and WCNO
sure
has been in this area for a long time. It's a Christian radio station, has wonderful programming on it and wonderful music on it. And, you know, Pastor Tom plays a lot. Who runs it? He plays a lot of Hebrew music.
Yep.
Which we love, because we play a lot of that mm-hmm. in our church. And we'll be playing Rosh Hashanah's music this weekend. So come Sunday, worship with us. We'll be celebrating. We'll be having apples and honey. That's what they eat, because it's a joyful time.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we have been given another year. We have been given another year, and as I mentioned that, I'm going to mention the name, our phone number in a second, so you may want to get a pencil and paper, but we've been given another year, and so Rosh Hashanah is the new year, so it's not in January, because we're going by God's calendar. God's calendar revolves by the moon, not the sun.
That's right.
Amen? The January, February, March calendar, that is by the solar, by the sun.
And it's pagan.
And it's pagan.
Sure,
and that's
is.
What the pagans worshipped, didn't they? They were sun worshippers.
That's right. Even the names of the months, you know.
Right. But God's calendar goes by the moon, and you can always tell when there's a new moon.
Hallelujah.
It's called a born-again moon. And that should remind us that we are to be born again, and we're to be renewed every day. We're to walk in love and repentance every day.
Yeah.
And you don't repent once and say it's over with. No, because we miss the mark all the time, every day. Maybe many times during the day we miss the mark.
Mm-hmm.
So we should live in repentance, and we should live in walking in love. Because when we have Yeshua, we can walk in love. Because God is love, isn't he? So Jesus is God, so Jesus is love. Yeshua is love. So I want to mention too that since we are into a new year, Rosh Hashanah begins a new year, and Pastor Gene spoke last week. Rosh Hashanah is one of 2 days. You don't know. He says we won't know
the day or the hour.
It's the only feast that comes on one or two days, and they're looking for the new moon. And of course, we know in Israel this week, they blew the shofars, many shofars, 100 times during one day, during the day, during that day, Rosh Hashanah. Mm-hmm. But you know, it wasn't just 100 shofars blowing, it was many, many people had shofars. I'm talking about hundreds of people had shofars. So imagine how many, how loud it was.
Must have been a roar, yeah.
Imagine if you have 1,000 people blowing shofars.
It's not a racket.
And actually, we wouldn't want to even begin to call it racket, because
right.
every sound that the shofar makes has a different meaning.
That's right.
And so that would be a good thing to share sometime. Every sound, it has a different meaning. It's a call. It could be a call to war. It could be, you know, a
call to assembly.
A call to assembly. So it's a sound, and it's a sound that God made originally. The original sound was from Mount Sinai.
Right.
When he called the people to come around to listen. But, you know, the people didn't want to hear God, did they? They told Moses, you talk to God. We're too afraid. We don't want to hear from God.
That's right.
But we have the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
So we can hear from God. We can hear from the Holy Spirit.
Yes, we can.
Which is God, all the time.
That's right.
We can hear from the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, which the King James calls the Godhead. We don't want to leave any part of the Godhead out. You leave one part of the Godhead out, you don't have a complete.
That's not right.
So we want complete. Just like we're spirit, soul, and body. You get rid of your body, you're not complete anymore. You know.
Mm-hmm.
We want the complete Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And the King James Bible says the Holy Ghost, because Jesus clarified it that we would receive power
from on high
when we receive the Holy Ghost. And Yeshua also said that he had to go return to his Father so that they would send the Holy Ghost. So every single person that is born again can receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues.
That's right.
Because he said one of the signs is speaking in tongues.
That's right.
Many,
ask and you shall
wisdom,
receive.
Wisdom, knowledge. I mean, there's all these different seven spirits you receive when you receive the Holy Ghost. So we need all that. We need the Holy Ghost. Amen. But going back to the year 5778.
That's what we're in now.
This is the new year, which mm-hmm. we're in right now, 5778.
That's right.
So we can look at all four of those numbers, but if we just look at the last two numbers, because the only number that changed would be the 8. The 7, we have 7 and 8. 5778. Amen. So God says that it's new. This is all new. This is a new thing. Amen. So God is doing a new thing. And 8 is the number of what?
New beginnings, huh?
New beginnings.
So
8
that,
is the number of
could
new
that be
beginnings.
This year, huh? Yeah.
And that is this year. New beginnings. So God is, and the 8, if we look at the number 8, it's the letter Chet. It's the letter Chet. You know, every single alphabet letter has a number. No other alphabet is like the Hebrew alphabet. It has a symbol, it has a meaning, it has a number. So 8, which is the Chet, is the number 8. And it's made up of two Hebrew letters. It's made up of the Vav, which is the number 6, which is the number for man, which also represents a nail, a peg.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know who was nailed to a cross, don't we? A man. But he wasn't just a man.
He was the man.
He is the man.
He is God.
God sent his only begotten
lived,
Son.
Yeah.
God came to earth to give his life for us.
Yes, Lord.
And then the other number which makes the Chet is the Zayin, which is the number 7. And that number 7 is the number of perfection,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
And it's also the number of weapon or a sword. And God has given us the sword
of the Spirit.
Of the Spirit, which is what? The words we speak.
Words we speak.
Which
yeah.
are
the Holy Word.
Two-edged sword. And what does it cut through?
Mm-hmm.
Principalities and powers. But we have to be hearing from the Lord. So we want to get God's perspective when we hear from the Lord, so we can cut through those things. So we don't want to stay in the second heaven, praying in the second heaven, battling the devil. No. That's a whole nother thought. So we have this Chet, which is the number 8. It's joined. There are two joint. These two letters, the 6 and the 7, are joined by a bridge,
mm-hmm.
which I would like to say they're yoked together. Now, that's the key word. To me, this is the key word for this year. We must be yoked together with God.
In everything we do.
And yeah. we must be yoked together with people, with our Christian brothers and sisters. No matter what denomination, as long as they love Jesus, we don't want to put names on people.
If they don't agree with us, it doesn't matter.
But what I'm saying is, if it's a Baptist, if it's a Methodist, if it's a Spirit-filled church, if we believe in Yeshua, we can learn to work together, amen, and we can learn to do things together and work together, and we can learn to love each other. Because
regardless, yes,
if somebody loves Yeshua, they love Jesus, then we must love our brothers and sisters. The Bible says that we are fellow laborers. That's in the Bible. We're fellow laborers together with Him, with Christ Jesus. So if we're fellow laborers with Him, that means we must be yoked together. You take two animals that are going to work a field, you yoke them together, they're not going to be fighting with each other, one going one way and one going the other way. If they want to plow a field, they're going to have to go in the same direction and plow the field.
That's right.
Well, you know, the Bible marathon is like plowing the field. So if we're going to do the Bible marathon, we need to learn to work together and plow the field together and read the whole Bible in what, how many days? 90 hours and get it done.
Yeah.
And do it wonderfully. If we work together, then we have joy and peace and love, and we have all the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit will be operating, won't they? So I believe that this year is a key word. The key word would be yoked. So you can look at yoke two different ways, a positive way or a negative way. We're not to be yoked together with unbelievers, but we're to be yoked together with fellow laborers that are in the field working together,
right.
And then what, things will be done. And you know, we weren't caught away this, well, you know, Day of Atonement hasn't come yet. Maybe it will happen then, but we didn't get caught away on Rosh Hashanah, so we're still here. And I don't think that the Lord put President Trump in office for all the Christians to be caught away and him to be left battling all the enemy.
That's right.
So I think, to me, I feel like that these years that we have our president, there almost be years, if we work together in love and we do the right thing, it could be almost years like Joseph had.
That's right.
When they had years of, when they had plenty.
Yeah.
And they were blessed.
And then they had the famine.
And our country can be blessed.
That's right.
So I believe that we can have that. And if he goes for 8 years, that will take us up to that next crossing of the solar eclipse, which we're not going to talk about now, but you know, we have to look. There are signs in the sky, and we do need to be aware that God does give us signs. So this is the new year. We need to order our lives according to the Jewish calendar and know that we're in the new year right now. So you need to get the prophetic word and the prophetic signs from the Lord. Don't wait till January. God speaks to us now, because he's a now God, isn't he?
Yeah.
And so he's speaking to us now that we don't want to waste these months up till January. We need to start working now towards what God is doing this year in 5778, that we are yoked together, just like that Chet is yoked together with the Vav and the Zayin, that they might work together with God. Man needs to work with God. If man decides he doesn't need God, then man and man's not going to do the thing, not going to have the solution.
Right.
But when man works with God, God has the solution. And if
that's
man
right.
is obedient, if we're obedient, then we will be blessed and we will be like the children of Israel who obeyed God. Those who didn't obey God, they were not blessed. Because you know, there's more curses in the Bible than there are blessings.
That's right.
And God never put those curses on them because he wanted to, because he hated them. No, people get curses put on them because they disobey. They make a choice.
And a lot of the curses, that they bring it on themselves. It's nothing God's doing, they bring it on themselves.
We
but
make
the Lord
a,
says,
we make a
says
choice.
This, yeah.
If I decide to do what's wrong, I'm going to bring on a curse. It's just like if I decide to go and rob a bank, okay, and I get put in jail, well, I did that.
That's
I deserve
right.
to be in jail, right?
Well, God didn't make you do it.
God didn't make me do it. The
no.
devil didn't make me do it. No,
right.
I made my own decision. And most people say, you know, the devil doesn't make you do things. The devil probably could care less most of the time about any of us. We're the ones who come up with ideas to do the wrong thing. Anyways, enough for that for the year 5778. And I know Pastor Gene's going to share. We're coming into the Day of Atonement. And that's very important too, because all these things that we're going to be talking about the next couple weeks will all be in the month of Tishri. And this is a very important month because it's the new year.
It's a month of completion for God. It's the seventh month on the Jewish calendar.
Right. And so I'm going to give our telephone number here in Stuart, Florida. So come visit us. We'll be celebrating this coming Sunday. And we'll be having a celebration, apples and honey, and we will teach and worship God and sing those New Year songs that the Jewish people sing, many of them. And we will be have our little fellowship together, and we'll rejoice because God has given us another year to do what He's called us to do. Amen. We're still here. I'm not in the grave.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Gene's not in the grave. You guys that are listening to us, you're not in the grave. God wants you to do what He has planned for you to do for this year, day by day. So the phone number here in Stuart, Florida, at Spirit of Prophecy Ministry, is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007. And I might mention, too, that we are on Facebook. You can watch our services on Facebook Live, or you can go back and watch them after they've been posted. That would be, you could look that up. It would be Jean-Donna Healton, H-E-A-L-T-O-N. That would be Facebook, and you can become our friends. And I want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey, who Andros Island, missing another hurricane.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
That hurricane will not do any damage to the temple of God or to the people on Andros Island. And so we bless them and we thank the Lord for them. And the church is going up. It's will be coming to completion very soon.
Might be this year.
And so they need money to put the roof on.
That's right.
We need money to get the roof put on. So if you'd like to help out with that, and I know some of you do, please give us a call at that number, and you can send us a check, and I'll give you that information. And all the money that you give or donate to Roscoe and Audrey in the Temple of God on Andros Island will go to them for supplies.
That's right. We'll make sure they get it. That's
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Glory to God.
That's
okay,
right.
Pastor Gene, take it away.
Well, anyway, we were talking last week about the Feast of Trumpets. You know, it's not really called Rosh Hashanah. It's just that Rosh Hashanah is a term for the new year. Rosh means head. It's the head of the year. And so it tells us in Ezekiel even that the beginning of the years is in the seventh month, on years, not months. But in Exodus chapter 14, what happened over there? God used and changed the timing of what Israel was going through. And at that time, it was called the month of Nisan. Well, instead of making that the seventh month on the whole civil calendar we talked about last week, it became the first month on the spiritual calendar. I like to call it religious. It's a spiritual calendar. So it was showing a new birth. So he changed the numbers on the month, not the season. The seasons were there. And so all this with Israel, when that final year comes of Jacob's trouble, everything will conclude in the seventh month, which is God's perfect number. All three of the last appointed times come in the month of Tishri. And so here we are. We're almost to the end of Elul. And we have finished it, but we have not finished it, the whole thing called Teshuvah, because it goes out to the Day of Atonement, the 10th day, so it lasts for 40 days. We've only completed
In Tishri now.
Yeah, we're in Tishri now, so we're out of the 30-day period, by a day or two now. So now we're looking forward to the rest of the appointed times coming on God's calendar.
Now we know the 30 days in the month of Elul was the time of Teshuvah, which Teshuvah is still will continue until till the Day of Atonement. So we have another seven or eight days till the Day of Atonement. And so during Rosh Hashanah, people reflect.
It's only
a time of reflecting back. You know,
it's a reflection.
What
yes.
did I do last year that I could do? Maybe perhaps I can do better this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about the things and also repenting. You know, during mm-hmm. that time is a time of repenting. So that time of repenting still could be going on up until the Day of Atonement. So because now you spent that time, those 30 days, hopefully, or maybe not 30 days, but you spent that time thinking about, repenting and thinking about the things that you could have done differently or could have done better or where you might have missed the mark, And so now we're in the new year. So now we want to think about, say these next few days, well, how can I improve? Maybe it would be good to make a list of things that the Lord is showing you. that he might want you to do. Like, for instance, I would give an example, like I could compare how I did the Bible Marathon last year. What can I do to improve it this year? How can I get more people involved? What can I do? So God gives us ways, and he directs us, and so to be able to make things to improve. God wants us to improve in every area, right? How about our marriage? How about the way we talk to each other?
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many areas, you know, because we get used to talking in a certain way because we all have different personalities, and one personality might be different, have a problem with somebody else's personality. It doesn't mean that their personality is bad or wrong, but we can all improve how we speak to each other and how we act. And what about the expressions we have on our face? What about our facial expressions? What about the way we dress? Look at how Christians dress. What do people think when they see us dressed wrongly? You know, I think about some of the young Christian girls who go to the beach and they dress very
risque,
provocative.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what do other Christians think when they see that? Well, they think, well, gee, she's a Christian. Why is she dressed like that? Well, you know what? Because people have a mindset of the world and what other people do. So, but we need to get God's viewpoint, and we need to be decently, do things. The Bible says to do things what? Decently and in order, right? So in everything in our life, if we look at the Bible, he shows us how to do things decently and in order.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. So we left off last week. We read a few verses, and that was the end of our discussion on this. So I thought we might share a few more things this week. Now, you know, chapter 23 of Leviticus, these 44 verses, I said this last week, I think these are the most important verses in the entire Bible, because it gives you the whole plan of God from the beginning to the end. All the appointed times were put in place to teach us about Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah, and what time and the time of the year, all the appointments that God had. And so this is a very important book. Or this chapter, I should say, in Leviticus. So I'm going to go back and read what we did last week in Leviticus chapter 23. In verse 23, that's a good one, 23:23. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, in the first day of the month. Now this is not July. That would be on the solar calendar. So we have to understand God's lunar calendar. The seventh month, Donald already mentioned, it's the month of Tishri. It's in the fall. So in the seventh month, in the first day of the month, which month is Tishri 1, shall ye have a Sabbath, it's a high Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of the trumpets, a holy convocation, they're to be set apart. So we just went through trumpets, okay? And so here we're looking for another year. He's giving us another year. And he says, you shall do no servile work therein, but you shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord. And that's all he talks about trumpets at this particular time. But we find out as we look through the scriptures that God has all kinds of clues about trumpets and how important they are. They were used to go to war, the trumpets were. They were used to call an assembly together. I think about Rosh Hashanah trumpets. When that day comes with the resurrection out from among the dead and the catching away, there's going to be a shofar blown, it says. And it says it's going to be a gathering together of all the saints. And it's going to be an assembly that will be brought together, the general assembly of the Lord. And so it's an exciting thing to understand. So he's taught us principles on all this to know this. Now, one thing I was thinking about here, Pastor Donna, before we got on the radio here, as you were talking, I was thinking about the book of Nehemiah.
Yes.
So if you'd like to go over to the book of Nehemiah with me, I'll show you something very interesting here that happened in the book of Nehemiah. I'm turning my pages. See, the Lord didn't give me this until just a minute ago, so what I should have done was... If I would have known, I would have put something in my Bible so I could have got to it real quick. But that didn't happen, did it that way. So I'm turning through my pages here, and I'm going to take you to where I want to go here. I believe it starts in Nehemiah. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Did I say Nehemiah? I might be mistaken here. It might be Ezra. I'm looking. Remember, Ezra and Nehemiah were two of the men that came back after the captivity, and they established some things, and they had to start all over at that particular time. So I'm looking here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm still not there. Help me with this, Lord. What was I thinking about? Well, anyway, These appointed times are in place to teach us totally about Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah. And all the seasons, we should look at it ourselves every year and understand that God is a cyclic God, and these appointed times come around every year, and they are to teach us about the Messiah. And the other interesting thing is it's to teach us to look into ourselves, to examine ourselves, like Donna was talking about a moment ago. And the Jewish people are doing that right now, because now they're counting down to the feast of Yom Kippur, which is called what? The Day of Atonement. And they're coming down to that place. And so this is what we have to remember when we look at all these things in the Bible. Here I am. I'm right the first time. Nehemiah chapter 7. I want to start there, and then I'm going to read a few things with you. And you can see about this important time called Tishri 1. And it's not everybody calls it Rosh Hashanah, but it's the appointed time of trumpets. And trumpets all through the Bible talks about a gathering together. And we know that Paul talked about the trumpet. Oh, maybe we'll get a chance to read those scriptures with you. And that trump was to call the general assembly, the ecclesia, the Jew and Gentile, and the Messiah that's walked with him. So I'm going to go to Nehemiah chapter 7, and I want to look at the very last verse of chapter 7, which is verse 73. Here's a couple more sevens. So the priests and the Levites and the porters and the singers and some of the people and the Nethinims and all of Israel dwelt in their cities. And when the seventh month came, the children of Israel were in their cities. So here, when they got back from the captivity, it was the seventh month at that time of the year with them, which was the month of Tishri, when they got back into their cities. Now we go into chapter 8. Listen to this now. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. So you're going to hear about the shofar, the blowing, gathering the people together.
Mm-hmm.
As one man into the street that was before the water gate. The water gate, no, that's where the anointing is. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law, the Torah, first five books of Moses, mm-hmm. which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, verse 2. And Ezra, the priest, brought the Torah before the congregation, both the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. So he's giving us a clue right now. Here we are. The first day of the seventh month is what? On the prophetic calendar? It's Tishri 1. It's trumpets. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until noon. So they might have been there for like 6 hours or better. Before the men and the women and those that could understand and the ears of the people were attentive unto the book of the law of the Torah. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit. Here's the first pulpit made of wood, which they had made for this purpose. And beside him stood all, I'm not going to go through all these names in verse 4. You can read all those names. But it was all the leadership in Israel was right there. Now verse 5 says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. Remember, he was on a podium. He was standing mm-hmm. up. For he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. That's the kind of reverence we ought to have today. We open the word of God, the people ought to stand up, huh? And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Wow. Also, Jeshua and Benaiah and Sherebiah and Jamin, Akub, Shabbathai, Hodijah, all these names again that we just passed over a moment ago. All of these were Levites, and they caused the people to understand that the Torah and the people stood in their place. So they stood when the, can you imagine? They might have stood there for 6 hours, Pastor Don, when the book was being read. So they read in the book, in the Torah of God, distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So I did a little teaching too. Now verse 9, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshath, which means he's a governor, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the Torah. Wow, incredible, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. So they're going to take care of all the ones that had nothing. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's a famous verse. People talk about it all the time in Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Verse 11 now. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy, neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them.
Thank you, Lord.
Verse 13. We see if we don't, when we hear the word of God, if we don't understand it, we're wasting our time.
That's why we need the Holy Ghost.
That's right. We need the Holy Ghost. And Miss Margie Swinney's been teaching the Torah portions on Friday night, and her purpose is to teach the understanding of the scripture so people understand what it means. But there's also a lot of spiritual things connected with all those verses to apply to us even today. And so we honor the Torah, hallelujah. In a lot of places they don't honor the Torah, but we do. Now verse 13 in this chapter, and on the second day, what's this now? This is Tishri 2, okay? Day they were gathered together of the chief of the fathers of all the people and the priests and the Levites unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the Torah. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths, okay, in the feast of the seventh month. So what feast is that? That's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's called Sukkot, okay? This is on Tishri 15 through 21. And they that should publish, and that they should publish and proclaim in all the cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth into the mount and fetch olive trees, and branches, and pine branches, and myrtle branches, and palm branches, and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So they were to spend 7 days in those booths during the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen? And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was a very great gladness. And also day by day, from the first day into the last day, he read in the book of the law, or the Torah of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. The eighth day is called Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah. Hallelujah. So that all led up to this, and to show you when they came back from Israel, that they wanted to institute right away all the things that God had given them in the past years, and that they had laid aside, and so they took it, and they opened the book up, and the Levites, you know, Ezra and Nehemiah, and they read from that book. It looks like it was all day long, so it's an important time. So it started on what? Tishri 1. It was on the Feast of Trumpets. In other words, it was a beginning of another year, the beginning of a new season for them as well. Mm-hmm. And it happens to be Nehemiah chapter 8, which is 8 is what? The number of beginnings in God's book, amen? 8 is the number of beginnings.
Yes.
So we see all that. So we looked at this a little bit in Leviticus, and so then we can look at some other things that God put in place to teach us about trumpets. And so I'm going to take you over now to, I'm going to go to Isaiah with you for a moment. There's a lot of other scriptures I could probably give, but these are the ones that stick in my mind. Go to Isaiah chapter 26. Now this is a song that we sing well, we haven't done it for a while. We need to do that. I think we're going to do it this weekend, aren't we?
Which one? Open the gates. Open the gates. That's a Friday night.
That's a Tishri one, a trumpets psalm. So I'm going to read part of it. Maybe not all of it, but part of it. It starts off, it says, in that day, talking about the day of the Lord, okay? Well, what day will that be? Jacob's trouble.
Trumpets, that also means repentance.
That's right. Shall this song be sung in the land of Judah? We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Now, this word salvation here in the Hebrew is how we get the word Yeshua. And so we could say, Yeshua will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. He's our protector. He's our covering. He's everything. Verse 2, then it says, open ye the gates. Remember, we talked about this several times in the past, maybe last week. On Rosh Hashanah, trumpets, they open all the gates in the temple in Yeshua's day. All the gates were open, that the righteous nation, this he's referring to Israel, which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isn't that incredible?
I want to mention a couple of some of the events that happened on Rosh Hashanah, Pastor
okay.
Gene. It's the day of the awakening blast.
Right.
The blowing of the shofar.
On the closing of the day, yeah.
It's the time after that when Jacob's trouble is going to start, which has to do with Israel.
That's right.
It's a day of judgment or the opening of the books or the opening of the gates, which
That's
you
right.
just talked about. It's the hidden day.
It's a hidden day.
It's called also the wedding of the Messiah.
That's right.
Awesome. And it's called the Feast of Trumpets. It's called the day of the awakening blast. And the Hebrew word is teruah.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people use the word rapture.
Right, which is not in the Bible.
Which is the catching away.
That's right.
All those things.
That's right.
Happen during Rosh Hashanah or trumpets.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go a little bit further in chapter 26 with you now. I want to go over to verse 15. The prophet speaks by God, "Thou hast increased the nation." This is Israel, O Lord. "Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hadst removed it for unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them." They, you know, when they were chastened, then they began to pray. Mm-hmm. They should have been doing it before. "Like as a woman with child." And she goes all those months, and at the very end, the pain comes, okay? So they went all these years and didn't look to God at all. So here we are. He's showing us that the conclusion will come, and there's going to be a birth pangs. It's called the birth pangs of the Messiah. "Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain, and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord." They waited all those years, and they finally, when they got in real trouble, then they begin to cry out. "We have been with child," verse 18. "We have been in pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not brought any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen." You hear that? And Isaiah says, "Thy dead men shall live." Mm-hmm. "Together with my dead body," so he believed there was a resurrection, "shall they arise, awake, and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Resurrection.
Wow.
Now these next two verses is very key. But you have to have a spiritual understanding with this, with the Jewish understanding and all, and the Bible, and what God's showing us, that we will miss this. And I've said this a lot at church. Verse 20 here, as we read this is going to be a trumpet scripture. "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed." So this is in Isaiah 26:20, okay? So he's asking his people to come. Well, they can't be put in this chamber, hidden in this chamber until they come to the Messiah. If they come to the Messiah, when the catching away and the resurrection comes, well, then they'll be hid away for how long? For 7 years. So look at this. "Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee." Here's the word hide. He wants to hide them during this time called Jacob's trouble. So how can they be hid? To know the Messiah. And in the future, from this point, as Isaiah spoke, to be know the Messiah, be caught off the earth, and they will not go through this. It says the rest of this. "And shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment." A moment with God is just...
So does that mean we'll be hid?
Sure, we're going to be hid too.
So we won't be here on the earth?
During Jacob's
Where
trouble.
We're going to be hid at?
We're going to be in heaven.
Heaven. We're
going to show this as we get into the New Testament, if we got time to finish this. "As it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed." Well, this word indignation is another term in the Hebrew referring to Jacob's trouble. So that's all referring to the day of the hiding that Donna talked about.
And we know that the dead will rise because it says cast out the dead.
Yeah, that's right.
That word means what? They're going to be resurrected.
Resurrection. Now, verse 21. Now we jump out 10 days later to the Day of Atonement. "For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth."
Yes.
"For their iniquity, the earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover their slain."
Wow.
So here we are, Yom Kippur. This is what this is all about. Mm-hmm. The Lord, that's when he's going to come back, I believe with all my heart, to the earth, literally, as it says in Acts chapter 1, will be at that particular time.
Yes, Lord.
So this is all referring to this time, and it was about trumpets, okay? Now if we go over to chapter 27, I'm going to look at two verses with you here in chapter 27, I'm going to look at 12 and 13 with you. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day," here we are, Jacob's trouble, "that the Lord shall beat off from the channel of the river unto the stream of Egypt, and you shall be gathered one by one." Here, see, it's a gathering. "Ye children of Israel," what's going to gather them? We're going to talk, this next verse is going to talk about a trumpet. "And it shall come to pass in that day that the great trumpet," this is the great shofar Haggadah, "shall be blown, Yom Kippur, and they shall come which were ready to perish in the land of Assyria, and the outcast in the land of Egypt, and shall worship the Lord in the holy mount at Jerusalem." Incredible. All right? There's a clue. Now I want to do this. I want to go over now to the book of Daniel with you. Go to Daniel with me. The last chapter of the book of Daniel. I'm turning my pages here. As some interesting things. But see, these have to be revealed to us prophetically. As I wrote this book, which I've offered to you folks for $25, the Lord showed me so much of this as I looked at all this. So I'm in Daniel chapter 12. And if you look at this whole chapter, it's referring to a time called Jacob's trouble. Okay, so these are the last, what? The last 7 years of Jacob's trouble is what we're talking about here. And it tells you in verse 1 of chapter 12, and at that time shall Michael stand up. Who's Michael? He's the archangel for Israel. The great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. Now this book has to be what? It's not just a book. What? It's the book. It's the book of the living. The book of Christ. It's the book of Christ. Amen. It's the book that He has. Amen.
Amen.
The Christ book. Now, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust, that means they've died, of the earth, shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting what? Contentment. So we see this. There's a separation here. Look at this. There's quite a few years between this, those that receive everlasting life and those that be resurrected to shame. But they're going to be down there in the earth for what? Another 1,000 years. So we have this distinction right here. And they that be wise, in verse 3, shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Hallelujah. And it's in verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the book words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. We're getting close, folks. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. We've heard talked about that before. Now, for time's sake, to prove this is the last 3.5 years of Jacob's trouble now, if we go to verse 7, right in the middle of the verse, it says, him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half time. A time is a year. Times is plural. 2 years and a half time is half of a year. Here's your 3.5 years being revealed. It's mentioned the same way in the book of Revelation at one point, okay? Now, this is what I want you to see here. At the very end of the book, the last chapter of Daniel, the very last verse, verse 13, listen to what was told Daniel. He saw this vision. He was a little bit confused, like a lot of people that got things like that. Think about the Apostle John, saw the whole apocalypse from the beginning to the end in Revelation. But here's in verse 13, the angel told him, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Interesting thought here. But go thy way till the end. He's talking about the end of his life. Mm-hmm. For thou shalt rest. Rest means you're going to die. Okay, that's the rest. And stand in thy lot. Now we got resurrection. And stand in thy lot at the end of days. Isn't that amazing when you think about that?
Awesome.
All right. So I think about this. If Daniel's going to be raised at the end of the days, and he lived years and years and years and years before all this time's coming, and where we're at now, well, that tells me that all the Old Testament, I should say the First Covenant people that walked with God, will be all resurrected at the end of Jacob's trouble. It's amazing. So here's another picture about resurrection of the saints. All the martyrs that died during Jacob's trouble, all the believers down through time that walked with God, like David and many of the kings and some of the prophets as well. They're all going to rise from the grave one day. Their bodies are still there. So now we got all that. There's a little proof here from the First Covenant. I want to go over now to the next book. We're going to go to Hosea. I'm not going to get all this done today. I know that. I'm going to go to Hosea chapter 5 with you for a moment. And if we look at this, this is all about Israel. It's not about the church. This is about Israel. And God's showing us some things here. Verse 15 says, because in this chapter, if you read before, the first 14 verses, it's talking about God leaving the presence of the temple, and he did that over in Ezekiel, if you read the book of Ezekiel. Now we have this prophetic word now starting in verse 15 about our Messiah. He says, I believe with all my heart, Yeshua HaMashiach, I will go and return to my place. He came to this earth for mankind. He died and rose from the grave and returned to his Father. The most important event that ever happened in history. We've talked about it a lot on this program. The most important event that ever happened in the history of Israel. And I guess the next great thing will be what? The resurrection and all that. But this is the greatest thing that ever happened. That Yeshua came, died for all of us, that we might have salvation through him, through the blood that was shed on Calvary. So he said, I'm going to go and return to my place. He did that. Till they acknowledge their offense. What was their offense in Jesus' name? They rejected God's Messiah. and seek my face in their affliction, which means Jacob's trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They will seek me early. Then we go into chapter 6. Now, the prophet speaking by the Spirit of God, come and let us return. Here's our word, teshuva, where we're still in teshuva till the Day of Atonement. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. This is all referring to Jacob's trouble, the trouble that we're going to go through. Mm-hmm. Isn't it called Jacob's trouble? It's not called the church's trouble. It's called Jacob's trouble. It's Israel's trouble. Now, look at verse 2. Now, it says, after, this is a key word, after 2 days, he's referring to after 2,000 years, will he revive us? He's talking to who? To the Jewish people here. In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. So here's resurrection talked about here. So this is about the Jewish people. So if we think about this with this prophetic word, remember, Jesus died in 30 AD, not 33 AD. So many books is written about 33. It's too old. He died in 30 AD, okay? So if we go 2,000 years from 30 AD at Passover, we'll come out to the year 2030 at Passover. So he says, after this time, will he revive us? Now it says, didn't say on the third day. In the King James, says in the third day, because we have to go 6 months into the third day to come out to what? To the month of Tishri. So he's not gonna raise them up at Passover. So after 2 days, after 2,000 years, he will revive us in the third day. It will be what? In the fall of the third day, after Christ came to this earth, he will raise us up, talking to the Jewish people, and we shall live in his sight. So this is all referring to resurrection right here. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Referring to his second advent to the earth, not his appearing in the sky, but at the end. This would be, if this is correct, it would be around the year 2030 for the ending of what God's going to do with Israel. So you notice it says the latter and former rain in the earth. Rain, we talked about before in Joel chapter 2. It's a term in the Hebrew that means a teacher of righteousness. Come unto us as what? The teacher of righteousness as what? The latter and the former rain unto the earth. This is all revealed right here in Hosea. This is a prophetic word. I've got this all written up in my commentary if you buy it, and you'll get some more instruction out of it. So this is Hosea talking about this. Now, we only have about 5 or almost 6 minutes. I want to go over to the New Testament now with you. All right, and I'm going to go to John chapter 11 to start with here. These are words that the Messiah himself spoke. I love this. This is in chapter 11. And you know, Martha was her sister were spending time with the Messiah, and Mary and Martha. And Mary was concerned about receiving the good things from the Messiah. She was sitting at his feet. But it says in verse 24 that Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said unto her, listen to what he says. Whoosh, hallelujah. I am the resurrection. Who is? Yeshua HaMashiach. And the life. He gives eternal life. He that believeth in me, that means they believe in Messiah, though he were dead, though he dies, he shall what? Live. He's going to live again. This is talking about resurrection. Now, verse 26. This is a prophetic word also. And whosoever liveth, that means alive at that time, and believeth in me, shall never die. Believest thou this? He's referring here to what? Those that will be caught off the earth, that will never die. Isn't that amazing? A prophetic word right there. Now, we've got a few more minutes. I want to go over now to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because we got to get back to this thing about trumpets. If we don't, we're going to miss out here. All right? Chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but there's going to be a resurrection and several resurrections, and they're all going to come out in the proper order, as it tells us. Verse 20 says, but is now Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. But every man, verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. When he comes in the sky. Amen? Now, over here further, I'm going to go to verse 50 in this chapter. Now, this I say, brother, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It's impossible. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. A mystery is something they didn't fully understand. We shall not all sleep. That means we're not all going to be dead, but we shall all what? Be changed or transformed. This is referring to the catching away. The dead in Christ will come out first, and then we that remain and we're walking with the Lord will be caught off the earth. Now here's the key verse. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that push, asamanda, that quick, at the last trump. Here's the trumpet mentioned. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead, what? Shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be, what? The ones that are left will be transformed. It's incredible. And so this is referring to Tishri 1, the Feast of Trumpets, okay? When this last trump will be blown. And we know that in Israel they do this, and they have for years, on trumpets. They have 100 blasts on a great shofar during the day. A certain sound at 9 in the morning, a certain sound at noon, certain sound in the afternoon, and then in the closing of the day, they have a huge shofar. A priest has chosen to do this, and he blows it louder and louder and louder, and it's called the awakening blast. And so it's the last trump. That's the last trump on Rosh Hashanah. This is what he's talking about. It's not the last trump in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation was written quite a few years after this. And so God's showing us the last trump. Remember, Paul was a Jew. He's going to give you the Jewish understanding of this. And so this is referring to the last trump that's blown on what? Trumpets. Now I'm going to take you over to 1 Thessalonians. We're getting close. I may not make it, but I'm going to do as much as I can with you, and then we're going to close. I'm just going to read this, and we're going to have to close for this day. Amen. 1 Thessalonians. We all should know this one, and I hope we understand it in a greater way now. And it's in chapter 4, what Paul referred to. These are some of the first scriptures I marked in my Bible.
Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6.
Verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have
it
no
says,
hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so
Jesus
them
that
rose also which sleep in Jesus will die and bring them. For if
Jesus
we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so them also which sleep in their spiritual souls, not their bodies, in Jesus will God bring with him from heaven. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain and become in the Lord shall not prevent them which are saved will die, not come out before them. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, here we are, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet him in the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever.
There is someone else here.
We're running out of time here.
So you have what?
Yeah,
are they bringing me water? As soon as it comes, let me know. Because I got four instructions for her. God is going to do it for you. This is your day.
Amen. So next week we'll talk about the Day of Atonement.
Day of Atonement, right.
And then we go into Tabernacles, which is a wonderful time. Well, this is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be with you on this broadcast on WCNO, also on the internet. You can go back and listen to this again.
It came about 8 months ago. Beautiful baby boy. Healthy.
Area code, well, not area code. Telephone number, area 772.
I bought my body. My body.
My body
is a temple.
Is a temple
of the Holy Spirit.
As we close this program every week, we tell you to look up.
How stunning my son is.
Redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Watch it.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at this same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.